Welcome, friends, to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest leader you can be. I am Joe Brannon, the digital content developer on the GCI Media team, and I'm here with Michelle.
Hello, this is Michelle Fleming, GCI Media Director and fangirl of GCI leaders around the world.
Amen. I like that. I like the fangirl part.
I am. You know, I have so much respect just for the high calling that it is to minister to one another, and just the humility and just the heart that I see in so many of our GCI pastors. I'm always in awe of all they do.
It's a lot of work being a pastor.
It is.
It really is. And other ministry leaders, not just the pastors. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a pouring out of your life.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. This is our second episode of the GC Podcast. We released our first one, which was just an introduction, is all it was. And the response has been uplifting, encouraging, and honestly mind-blowing for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got messages from people I've never met before, from people all over the world, and it was just really, really encouraging. Before we even officially announced it, some people found it, which makes me excited. It means people are looking for the resources, you know, and that's the reason why we do what we do, is because we want to support our leaders as much as possible. So I'm just really excited about the reception we've had for this new resource that we're rolling out.
Yeah, it definitely has brought a different energy, a new energy to me. You know, and be like, man, so people want this. This is a real thing, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
So it's real exciting. It's real exciting. Mm-hmm. To give you a little bit of update, we're still working on getting this podcast available on iTunes and Google Play and wherever podcasts can be found. But you can still share this with your leaders and use these as discussions. That's what we really want, is that you, the listener, our pastors, and the second tier leadership, the ministry leaders, that you use this and the things that you hear as discussions, you know, to create discussions and bring up questions and those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think there's a whole nother level of learning that happens when you take information that you've heard and you live it out in community with one another. I mean, that's the beauty of the church, right? We're just living out the good news of Jesus. And I think, you know, the resources and the information we talk about here, it's best contextualized, you know, with the people that God has placed you with on your teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think, before we get into this episode, we have some more exciting news.
Oh, you're right. You're right. We do have some exciting news, don't we? So if you are in GCI, the regional conferences are happening this year, 2019.
Mark your calendars.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. However, they're not just going to be conferences. We're changing the aim of what the conferences are. And so we're actually updating it to be called the GCI Regional Celebrations. So
yeah, there's a lot of intention behind that, because before, I think we came and it was a time to get together, a time to kind of fellowship and enjoy one another's company, because that's something GCI is really, really good at.
Yes.
But it was also very information driven. And we have some really, really good ideas happening out, some best practices, and the Spirit is really moving in some of our congregations. And what an opportunity, while we're fellowshipping, to hear about how God is working in GCI.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so that's what we're going to do. It's a time to celebrate on what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are doing in our churches. So you will not want to miss it. And we're definitely going to share more information after this episode of the podcast. So definitely stick around to the end. Speaking of this episode, I was able to sit down with Pastor Mike Rasmussen from the Oklahoma City area and discuss his approach to leading teams within the church. Now, he's been doing pastoral ministry for a long time and has not just pastored a church, but he's developed leaders too and has been able to send leaders out. Honestly, it was a really easy conversation, because I've had the privilege to be mentored by him for almost 20 years now. So during this podcast, he shares so much insight to how he leads teams and why he does what he does with his leaders. I'm real excited about you guys hearing this interview, and we really hope that you enjoy it. So here is my conversation with Pastor Mike Rasmussen. I've got sitting here in the studio, Pastor Mike Rasmussen, one of my best friends, my mentor, and honestly, he's like a dad to me. I'm pretty excited about this interview with Pastor Mike. I call him Pastor Mike. Most of you know him as just Mike, but I've known him for a very long time, 21 years, I think, is how long we've known each other. Mike Rasmussen is a husband and a father of two boys and has worked as a GCI pastor in Yukon, Oklahoma for 21 years. He's been a part of many different teams and leadership positions in GCI and out of GCI. Yukon is just outside of Oklahoma City. It's probably about 20 minutes west of Oklahoma City. He started a regional youth camp there in Oklahoma. Pastor Mike, I am excited that you are here doing a podcast.
Joe, I am so pumped, so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me in, and just so proud of what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I know based off of my experience with you through ministry and everything that you have a lot to share about pastoral ministry, leadership, and just life on life stuff. Like I said, you have been a father figure in my life for over two decades. You moved to Oklahoma City when I was 15.
You were 15.
Yeah, 15 years old. And I was there when you were moving in. I didn't help move you in.
No, but you did something even better. And it was something that was just a gift from God, because we were moving into the area with two small boys, that 6 and 7. And, you know, the unknownness and breaking into a new neighborhood, new schools and all. And you were 15 years old. And I remember that day when we unpacked, you came up and greeted our boys and took them out and played ball with them in the street. And it was just such blessing to Julie and I's heart, my heart, that you would do that. And you guys have had good relationship ever since. In fact, our oldest son, Grant, I think one of your best friends, and you're one of his best friends. And God did something that day that was profound.
And I just didn't want to work. And
now that I know you, I know that's true, but you, God was working in you in spite of yourself.
Well, praise God on that. So, I mean, you've been in ministry, pastoral ministry specifically, for 21 years, and so you've led many different teams in the church, outside of the church. So, how many teams do you lead in your church? How many teams do you have?
In our church, five or six, I think, main ones. We have my SALT team. It's my senior adult leadership team, and it's composed of all my ministry leaders. There's 20 of us on the team, and then I have a light team, because we're supposed to be the salt and the light. So my leaders, I encourage them to be the salt and the light. The light team is my young adult leaders, and they get together once a month, and we plan youth activities. We plan the camp that we do, regional camp that we did for many, many years. And then I have an advisory council, and then I have a financial committee. And then I have a pastoral team, which is made up of the elders. So
okay.
Those are the main ones that I have.
Yeah, so what was it? About, I think, six.
Yeah, five or six.
Yeah. So, I mean, having so many different teams, I mean, obviously, it makes sense on certain teams. You know, the financial team in a church, of course, you're going to have that. Pastoral leadership team makes sense. Advisory council, you know, in our denomination's handbook, it says, you know, you need to have an advisory council team, but then you have a SALT team and a light team. So you have these other teams that you work with. Why in the world would you create more teams and put more work on you to lead these teams?
I'm a firm believer that ministry is about relationships. And it's also about sharing vision. It's not about being the dictator at the top who casts the vision and tells everybody what they need to do and all the little soldiers get into alignment. This is about us coming together and hearing the what God has to say to us through the Holy Spirit. And then together working out how that looks and how that functions within the congregation. So I started early on, probably pretty much the first year that I got here. What I did is I sent out a card for people to fill out at services, and I ask for 7 people that you feel are led by the Holy Spirit and are given to service. And I put together a list separately of the people that I thought within the first 9 months that I was there. And this is just, I didn't know them all real well, but I could see different gift mix and stuff. So I calculated all of the people that the congregation said they felt were leaders filled with the Holy Spirit and surrendered to the lead of the Holy Spirit. And it was amazing. Those two lists were virtually identical.
Wow.
So it was real confirmation for me. This is the group of people that I need to begin to work with. These are the people that are the key ministry leaders. These are people who were willing to step up. So we would begin to meet in my home once a month. And we would come together on a Sunday after services. Now, we wouldn't do it right after services because we wanted, you know, fellowship time and all. And then we would, services get over 12:30 or so, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. People are still fellowshipping. So we really set it for 4 o'clock. And I would have that in my home. And I did that very intentionally because I wanted people to feel comfortable with me, not just as the pastor, you know, some executive position, but as a human being, as a brother in Christ and someone who we're in the trenches together. So everybody brings a meal. We have a potluck at my house. We eat together. We talk about challenges we're going through, things that we need to pray about for one another's families, struggles that we go through. We really just have bonded very deeply. And then we'll go into where the church is, what the vision is, where we're going, and how do we get there. And honestly, I never introduce anything of any significance to the congregation that hasn't first been reviewed and worked through with my pastoral team. And we have to be in agreement and understand it before we bring it to the SALT team. And then with the SALT team, we have to work through all of that before we move it to the congregation. And the reason is because these are the leaders and these are all different personalities. And we've since gone through some things with Giant Worldwide with 5 voices and the 5 different types of personality types and voices. You want all of those represented in your team. Because if I introduce something and let's say a guardian, someone who is going to protect the institution and wants to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, I want to make sure that person understands the vision and understands how it's going to be carried out. Because when I introduce it to the church, guess what? All the guardians are going to come to my leader guardian and say, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? And I want them to be able to explain it as well and be as passionate about it as I am. Now, sometimes that takes a while. It's something we can introduce an idea, and some of them don't fly at all. Some of them may take 6 months or a year before they actually get rolled out. But when they do get rolled out, I've got 20 of my leaders, in fact, a few more, who are fully on board and understand it, can articulate it, and defend it. It's really made a difference.
So, I've heard you say this before as far as when you present something to the congregation, of course, there's going to be questions that come up within the congregation. You're going to have the guardian voices that are like, well, why are we making this change? You're going to have some other ones that just whatever it is. Sometimes you'll have some major pushback. And you've always said that these people, the members in the congregation that aren't necessarily on the leadership team, they're going to go to other people before they go to you. Why?
Well, absolutely, because if they're going to question the vision that I as the pastor am casting, they're going to, in many cases, they're not going to come talk to me and ask me, well, why are you doing this or what's going on? They don't want to be embarrassed by the fact that they don't understand it or be concerned that somehow they're in disagreement or causing division. So their first person they're going to go to more than likely is going to be someone like them, a guardian, a nurturer, a pioneer, a create, whatever it is. They're going to tend to go to that person and ask what they think about it. So I mean, they're welcome to come to me, and I want them to feel free to always come to me. But in reality, I've got to be honest. Not everybody's going to do that.
Right. Probably majority of the people in the church are not going to do that.
Right.
Because even though it's not what we want as pastors, to have a barrier just because of the position of pastor, to have that title, there is that wall,
right,
that is built. And it's not even necessarily something that we build. It's just the culture in which we live in.
Right.
So in some ways, this doing it this way, to where you're sharing this with all the different levels of leadership before it's even presented to the congregation, is even minimizing the whole gossip and the gossip issue. But also, more importantly, it's minimizing the fact that you don't have your leaders sitting there saying, well, I don't know what's going on either.
Right.
You know, yeah, I heard this in a meeting, but I don't know what it means. Because can you speak a little bit into that? Have you seen that occur before, where there hasn't been the clear vision within a leadership team, and it's been undermined before it even got off the ground, a particular vision or a change in a church?
Oh, absolutely. I don't have to go outside my congregation. I've done that. Before I understood that I wanted to bring everybody on board, and it's not a matter of trying to arm twist or convince these leaders. It's a matter of taking the vision and saying, guys, I think this is where God's leading us. And you put it on the table and you let each one of those individuals have an open, honest discussion about it. They can ask the difficult questions. They can tear it apart. They can, you know, find the loose bricks in it. And we do that together as a team. Because if you don't do that, then yeah, they may say, okay, pastor, we'll do whatever you say, but you don't have real buy-in and you don't have community. You don't have the wisdom that you get from all the different voices. And the way I feel is the Holy Spirit's working in all of us. Mm. The Holy Spirit's not working in me more than any of my members. We have the Holy Spirit to its fullness, right? So why would I not want to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to each of the individuals on my leadership team?
Yeah.
It's just as valuable as mine. So if we're following me, then yeah, I don't want to bring everybody else in, because it's a lot of work. It's time consuming. And the possibility is something that I want to do isn't going to happen. But if I'm really looking after what the Holy Spirit is saying, then I've got to trust that if the Holy Spirit is giving this to me, he also can give it to each of the individuals on the team. So when we all get it, we understand it, we've worked through it, we've massaged it, we've cleaned it up, we know that this is something that the Holy Spirit's doing, not something that a pastor's doing or one individual, a ministry leader or something.
It can be really easy to be in a leadership team and just, one, as a pastor, just say, I'm the pastor, and this is what needs to go. And then two, as one of the leaders, just be like, well, they're the pastor, so, you know, I'm just going to go along with whatever they say. How have you created that culture, that atmosphere, to where you are creating the space for the leaders to actually be open and honest in these meetings, and not just be like, you know, I'm a robot doing whatever the pastor tells me to do?
Right. Well, I it doesn't happen overnight. I think it's a matter of building those relationships, and it's validating that we're all hearing from the Holy Spirit, that we're all equal, we all meet at the foot of the cross, that we are beloved children of God who have been redeemed, reconciled, and included, adopted. You know, when we all begin to see that, and when people begin to know that their voices are being heard, it creates a very different atmosphere of trust. And they all know that somebody has to make the final decision.
Yeah.
And they want that to be the pastor. But everybody wants to be heard, and everybody wants to participate to some degree.
Yeah.
And when you're freed up to do that, there's just not the them and us. Mm. There's not the, you know, distrust of someone's trying to twist your arm or get you to rubber stamp something. this is truly us being as prayerful and led by the Holy Spirit as we can, moving together. And, you know, a good chunk of my congregation is in leadership team of one sort or another. I would say probably 3/4 of my congregation is in are on one of those teams that we have.
Yeah, one of the 5 or 6 teams mm-hmm. that you mentioned.
Right.
Not that everybody is on one team.
No.
You got 30 people on the pastoral right. leadership team.
Well, and the other thing is you also, on your teams, you want to be very mindful of making sure everybody's represented. I mean, you know, male, female, all different ethnic backgrounds. You also want to make sure that there's young and there's old. I have on my one team, my SALT team, I have people that are in their 40s, and I have all the way up into their 80s.
Wow.
So it's a cross section, and yet we really get along. We love each other. We not only have meetings that we do once a month, but we also, I learned, because I'm not a party person. I just don't think that way, but I know it's incredibly valuable. So we decided that 6 months in, you know, July area, and then for Christmas, we, instead of having a meeting, we have a party. Hmm. Well, the first time I did that, I said, okay, guys, next time we're having a Christmas party. And we came, and because I'm not a party person, it looked very much like a meeting. And they said, Pastor Mike, this looks just like a regular meeting. I said, I know. I said, calling it a party doesn't make it a party.
Yeah.
So I had to release that to the other people in the team. And I have no say on what happens on our parties because it's not my gift.
Yeah.
But I've got people in my team, on my team, who are
party animals.
Yeah, they love it. And it's been wonderful. And we do things together. We just recently went as a team together, all 20 of us went and rented a cabin up on a lake and spent the weekend together just brainstorming and talking and loving one another and hanging out. And so it's not just business. You really have to be friends and build that relationship. Because again, that's what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are. They're in relationship. And they've created us to live in that relationship with them. We can't say that's what it's all about and then make it about some kind of a business model where there's a big business structure. I just don't think that works as well.
Yeah. A couple different directions I want to go. It's like, it's really flowing in my head right now. But I'm sure that you doing these teams like this and having these meetings, it just makes everything go smooth in the church. I'm sure the meetings are absolutely perfect and you don't have any issues whatsoever of getting people on board on your leadership team, do you?
Obviously, you've never been in one of these meetings. No, I mean, sometimes it gets ugly. Sometimes there's strong feelings. But again, if you love one another, you can hear some of the tough things. And some of the tough things are things that are absolutely needed to be said. I mean, there's times when I've walked away, people, you know, we go 4 hours. We go from 4 until 8, 8:30. Now, again, some of that's meal, but
sure.
I mean, it's a long meeting, but you're not going to hammer these things out, and you're not going to build the relationships if you do an hour meeting after church. And I've had pushback from people. Some of the people on the team have said, Pastor Mike, why are you doing it at your home? We could do this at the church. I'm like, no, we can't. Well, we could.
Yeah.
You know, technically and physically, we could, but it doesn't convey the same thing when you're sitting in the living room. And, you know, you're sitting on couches and in a circle and we're looking eye to eye and we're all, you know, I'm not on a stage on it behind a lectern or something. So I've gotten pushback on that. And honestly, it does come at a cost. I mean, I have to have the plumbers come out pretty regularly to clean out all my lines because it's not built for, you know, 20 people to be there. And of course, you know, I've held counselor's weekend for up to 40, yeah. 40, 45 young adults at the house.
And, yeah.
And there's wear and tear. I mean, there's areas where kids have poked holes in the wall accidentally and ripped off part of my roof and set fires in my bathroom. And, you know, but that's part of it. You know, nobody's intentionally doing that. But when you get that many people in a home,
it's bound to happen.
Yeah. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can get frustrated at some of the damage, but I look back on them as badges of honor, of relationship. I mean, these are people that I love. So Yeah, the meetings don't always go. I mean, there's times when we walk away and we're a little more frustrated, but we walk away loving each other.
Yeah.
And we know that if we continue to pray about it, we continue to surrender it to God, we'll come together. And we often pray, you know, God, don't unite us over some human idea. Don't get us all on the same page if it's about us or a great, we don't want a good idea or a great idea. We want the perfect idea, and that can only come from Him. So when you begin to rally behind that, not behind the pastor, but behind the Holy Spirit and what Jesus is doing, you work through those things.
How has it been for your pride as the pastor of the congregation, opening yourself up to this group of 20 people, knowing that something that you may be feeling a certain way, you present it, and it just gets shot down like crazy?
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But when you trust the Holy Spirit and you believe that in the long run, if it's something that God wants to do, it'll get done. And this may not be the right time. And if the SALT team doesn't feel it's the right time, then guess what? The congregation is probably not going to feel it's the right time either. So I don't want to, you know, force it on them. I'm trusting that these leaders are the pulse beat of the congregation, the different personalities, different voices. They are going to be able to help advise me in the best way possible. I mean, it's come to a point where, you know, I was asked to be a regional director, and I would not say yes to it until I worked it through the entire system. What that meant is I went to God, prayed about it. If I got a green light from my heart that I felt God was calling me to it, I took it to my wife. Then I took it to my children. And then I took it to the pastoral team. And then I took it to, and each one of these groups, you know, can get upwards of a month to pray about it and to think about it and come back and tell me. So went through the SALT team, went through the LIGHT team, went through the financial committee, went through the advisory council, then went to the congregation, and then it came back to the advisory council and they advised me. This took 6 months, okay?
So it's not fast.
It's not fast. 6 months, and every single person had veto power on whether I would accept a position, you know, of being a regional director.
Wow.
That's scary.
That is
scary. The first time I did it, because you think, man, this could get really slowed down, really ugly, and what if God's putting it on my heart that I should do this?
Mm.
And somebody else doesn't feel that. What do you do then? Well, the amazing thing was, every time, I've done this probably 3 or 4 times, every single time we get complete unanimous agreement that they feel God's calling us to do whatever. And that is so empowering, because in my congregation, I travel quite a bit. And when I'm gone, I know that my congregation has said they feel God calling me to do this. And I've not gotten pushback from my congregation because I'm traveling, because they were part of the process and they had full say. And I've often thought, what if, you know, the very last person says, no, I absolutely do not think this is something God's calling me to do. But I've given them that power.
Yeah.
And we would have to walk through that and pray about that. And it's not just a matter of, guys, this is what I'm doing, so get on board.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my dad. My dad would say, I'd do something, I'd say, well, Dad, why? Why do you want me to do that? He'd say, well, because I'm your father.
Mm.
It never works.
Yeah.
And so I told my sons, I said, guys, you can always ask me why. I will always explain why. Now, I don't want it to be in an attitude of why, you know. But if you really want to know why I'm asking you to do something or why I'm saying something, I'm more than happy to explain it to you. I may not be able to do it right now. Such as if you're running out in the street and I yell, stop.
Yeah.
Well, why, Dad? You don't keep going. I will explain it to you, but I may not be able to explain it right at that moment.
Yeah.
But I want you to know. I want you to ask those questions. I want the same thing of my congregation. I want them to, you know, to feel free to ask and be a part of this. And it's a journey that we're doing together, not being led by the pastor, even though I have responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's being led by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like you said, where it started was developing the teams, putting together a team that was like your congregation.
Yes.
Every different male, female,
right.
Ethnicities,
right.
ages. It's all represented. So you know that when you're talking to your leadership team, and usually, like, well, seems like, knock on wood, 100% of the time, when you bring something to your leadership team and they give the green light, and of course all the multiple levels of leadership, the congregation is represented in those leadership teams. Mm-hmm. So the chances of getting the pushback from a congregation have been seriously minimized. And that creates, even though it may take 6 months to do something, to push something through or to make a decision, you probably made it more efficient in the long run. Mm-hmm. Because if you're starting to roll something out in the congregation and you're starting to get all this pushback, well, now you have to backtrack, or you got to sit there and try to convince, and it's just a waste of time. And then the other question is was this really from God?
Right. Right, and you definitely don't want to be in the middle of something and look back and think, well, did we do this, or is this God do this? That you want to be clear. And if the Holy Spirit's working in every person, then the Holy Spirit can bring us together in a unanimous voice. And when that happens, it is powerful, because you know you've surrendered it to the Holy Spirit, and you know that people all have the veto power. And that's not really a veto. I mean, it's not a vote, but it's participation. It's, you know, being involved in that. When that happens, you know it's from God, and you get to move forward in confidence. The tendency that we have as human beings is if we build a team, we want to build a team that looks like us or agrees with us. And that's really the worst thing you can possibly do. You want a diversity of people who agree with you, disagree with you. Now, you don't want people who are, disagreeable.
Yeah.
You don't want people who are, you know, difficult to work with, that they're just argumentative. You don't want that. You want people who truly want to seek God's will. They're teachable. They're available. They're open to that. And when you do that, then if you get people who are not like you, you get so much more insight and wisdom that makes the decision much more broad and deep. And it's, you're going to have to fight sometimes. Now, when I say fight, I mean, you're going to have to battle it, you know, and put the Holy Spirit, you know, to the test and say, you know, okay, bring us together, however you can do that. Or make it clear that this isn't the time to introduce this. That's okay too. But I learn, if I cast a vision and we take 6 months for it to work through the system, guess what? At the end of that 6 months, I understand that vision much more clearly.
Yeah.
And I know that we've checked all of the bricks to make sure there's no loose ones. And that's valuable.
So we have pastors and ministry leaders listening to this podcast. Let's say that they're in a congregation that the leadership teams are struggling, you know, of finding that camaraderie. What would you say to that pastor or ministry leader?
I would say find time to build deep relationships. That's the foundation. Building a team by getting people who want to be on a team, or, you know, you got to avoid the person who wants to be on the team for the wrong reasons. I also would say, find people that God's already doing the ministry through. I would much rather commission someone to leadership or ordain somebody who's already doing it, not somebody who will do it if they get on the team or if they get ordained or whatever. Find somebody who it's just naturally the Holy Spirit's flowing through them and they want to be involved in that, and then challenge them to step up to a higher level.
That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. Really appreciate you sharing your experience in leading all these different teams, and something that you've always said to me. It's like, this isn't the way,
mm-mm,
but it's the way that I've done it. I've bumped my head a lot, made a lot of mistakes, but I've also seen some successes through the grace of God in all of this. So really appreciate you sharing your experiences. I do have one last question, though.
Uh-oh.
What would you do if you found an elephant in your backyard?
Wow. What would I do if I... Well, I would... I think I would want to open that up to share with the neighborhood, because I'm sure not most people probably don't have one in their backyard. And that would be a real attraction, to be able to start building relationships with my neighbors, hopefully.
Every opportunity to build a relationship. Every opportunity. Every opportunity.
It's all about that. Even with elephants in your backyard.
Pastor Mike, thanks so much for being here.
You're very welcome. It's been my pleasure.
All right. That was such a fun interview that I did with Mike. It really was. I mean, I was mentored by him for many years, and he continues to mentor me from a distance, you know, even though we don't live close. But just, I've learned so much from him, and he makes things easy and clear to where it's duplicatable, which is really nice. Now, and one of the things that stood out to me, Michelle, is what he said. He said, it's not just business. You have to be friends and build that relationship. And then he continues to say, that's what Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are. They're in relationship and have created us to be in a relationship with one another. That was one of the things that really stood out to me.
Yeah, I think throughout the whole episode, I just kept hearing him refer to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And there was so much humility in that, because he even, you know, took down his walls of self-preservation and said, you know, I need to discern, like, is this my voice or is this what the Spirit wants? And there was humility in that, and also humility in a desire to incorporate all the voices of his congregation, which takes time and takes effort. But he showed the value there of inclusivity, which is a GCI value, and that's also a reflection of Father, Son, and Spirit, like he mentioned as well. And so that was really the highlight for me, was, you know, in his leadership, you know, we see a reflection of who God is, you know, and of who we are in GCI. That's something we see in a lot of our congregations.
Yes, yeah. And it's easy to get caught up in it. Well, we need to get this done quickly. We need to get it done now. And just him describing his system of going through when he wants to make a change or wants to incorporate something, all the different levels of leadership teams that he sits there and filters it through, that takes a long time to do that. But at the same time, he's saving time in the long run, you know, when you stop and think about it. But the relational aspect of it, that he's not just building these teams to do a task, but yet it's to build relationships. I mean, he said something about doing like parties every 6 months with his leadership teams and doing retreats. I mean, it's easy to get into the rut of business as pastors and leaders, but we can't forget that those people right next to us, they're people. Those teams, they're people as well, and we're pastoring and ministering to those people too, not just the congregation as a whole.
And I think too, it's when you just get into that always forward focus, forward focus, forward focus, we miss out on what the Spirit is actually doing.
Oh man!
And so when you pause and you celebrate together as a team, you're taking an opportunity to say, "Hey, you know, look what God has done in this time frame, you know, and then let's pause too and reflect what are our next steps and continue to be Spirit led."
Yeah.
And that makes me think of our regional celebrations.
Oh, snap. I almost forgot that we have more to share.
We do.
Oh, man. So, like we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, we got the 2019 regional celebrations. The theme for these celebrations is Healthy Leaders for Healthy Churches. And we are very excited about that theme. Some of the things that you can expect is definitely inspirational worship, a time to build relationships with leaders, meet new friends, and connect with old friends, which, like you said before, we're really good at that with connecting with people. Mm-hmm. So, but there's intentional space provided to go deeper and build those relationships in these celebrations.
Yeah, I think even on Saturday evenings at each of the celebrations, there'll be a different opportunity for fellowship.
That's awesome. That's awesome. There will be messages about being a healthy leader. You're going to hear stories of what other local congregations in your region are doing to be the healthiest expression of church to their community. Also, families. Families.
This is a big move.
This is a very big move. I think there was a couple of regions that did it 3 years ago, but every region is now providing children and youth tracks. So families, you can bring your kids, and there's going to be specific times where the kids can go and do things with other GCI kids.
Right.
That's exciting.
Yes, and kind of live out being the church together.
I know. Isn't it great? Bringing families together. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good. Some of our featured speakers, GCI President Dr. Greg Williams is going to be there, and also GCI North America Superintendent. That is a mouthful. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But he is the North American Superintendent, Pastor Mike Rasmussen, who was just on this podcast.
Yeah, so if you liked what you heard today, you can hear even more.
Absolutely. And I believe every regional director is going to be speaking at their regions.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you'll get to hear them speak as well. To find out more information about your regional celebration, go to gci.org/events. You can then click on your region. You'll find the location, the dates, the pricing, and you'll be able to register from that point as well. And we really want to encourage you to bring your ministry leaders to this event. What an opportunity is to build deeper relationships with your leaders and grow as a team.
Yeah, and I think oftentimes too, when it's one person receiving information and then taking it back, you know, there are some things that are lost in translation because we learn through experience, like we were talking about earlier. So this is an opportunity to experience together, to learn together, to grow together, and then take it back home and make it match your context.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I experienced just real briefly is when Mike Rasmussen would take some of us leaders to these events, it wasn't just an informational dump, but he also sat there and tried to have like dinner or lunch with us. So we got to do things outside of the quote unquote church Sunday context. So it's that opportunity to get to know the person as an individual. So what a great opportunity to do that as well. Mm-hmm. We will say this, you do not want to miss this event.
Yeah, who wants to miss a party?
Exactly.
These are celebrations.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.